Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. That's the Greens, missionaries out of our church going to the field of Peru. And so you make sure that you pray for them. You have your Bibles tonight. If you look with us to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1. Hebrews in chapter 1. We've been going through and studying on the divisions of the Bible. We started in the book of Genesis and went through all the divisions and why every one of those books are placed where it's placed in the Word of God. Then we went to the New Testament. We're right now, this is the last of the Pauline epistles. Now, everyone that I know of that knows the Bible believe that this book of Hebrews was written by the Apostle Paul. And so we put that in with the Pauline epistles, the end of the Pauline epistles. But really, who wrote it? It just helps us to better understand maybe some background, but it's God's Word. That's what's most important. God has preserved it for this New Testament church age. He's preserved it for us, so we might know the very thoughts and very mind of an almighty God. And so this would be the end of the division of the Pauline epistles. And the book of Hebrews reveals the Christ of Christianity, New Testament Christianity. And so go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading the first three verses here of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, Old Testament, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's the Christ of Christianity. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, pray that you would just meet with us, and thank you for already how you've blessed us by being here and working through the music that we have been able to be blessed by tonight. But now, Lord, as we look into this book of Hebrews, as we just briefly go through it, I pray that you'd give each one of us that understanding and that ear to hear what you have for us. I pray that you'd empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. There's no doubt that Paul is presenting Jesus Christ and a new and living way that we are to live by in the New Testament church age, Jesus Christ ushering that in. Fulfilled the Old Testament, even though the church was a mystery in the Old Testament, but Jesus Christ came to reveal the mystery of the New Testament church. And so the book of Hebrews gives us so much insight into the difference between Old Testament law and that which was a school teacher, if you will, to bring us to the place where humanity could understand who Jesus Christ was and is, and why he would have to go to the cross of Calvary and become a sacrificial lamb and shed his blood for the remissions of our sins. And so without the book of Hebrews, we would lose out on so much concerning understanding this New Testament church age. And so again, it reveals the Christ of Christianity. I've got it divided into three different sections. We don't have time to go through and study all of that. But the first would be Jesus Christ being a superior leader. And it's Paul helping the believers in the New Testament to see the difference and how much better this new and living way is than they had in the Old Testament. So they were to turn away from Old Testament law and turn to New Testament Christianity. And so this Jesus Christ being a superior leader, the first six chapters, and then the chapter 7 through 10, the second part would be he is a superior priesthood, okay? He is a superior priesthood than any of the priests in the Old Testament. And then the third part would be a chapter 11 down to chapter 13, a superior faith, something that we put our faith in, the truths of God's Word, New Testament being the completion, being the fulfillment. It's superior than any Old Testament beliefs, okay? And so that's what we have, a three-point outline on this book of Hebrews. Now, with that said, there's no doubt as we study the New Testament and the teachings of Christ that all believers now are to move on from Old Testament covenant to the New Testament covenant. We don't do away with the Old Testament. There's still things that we look to in the Old Testament that helps present to us the truth of the New Testament. There's the stories and the biblical principles that are presented in the Old Testament are still as prevalent today and are as helpful today as it would have been in the Old Testament. But we see that in a different light. We see that in the light of Jesus Christ and the New Testament teachings of Christ. If you know, when we go through and study Old Testament Bible characters, we'll present a biblical principle, and then we know it's a biblical principle because then we can see the teachings of Christ revealing that same principle. And it's good to have both, the Old Testament, understanding the stories and learn these principles, and then verifying that in the New Testament teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. What I want to do is I want to go through the book of Hebrews tonight, and I believe it's in 10 different places in the book of Hebrews where it says, let us study some things that Paul encouraged the believers in this first century church and all that would read the book of Hebrews, all of these statements and the things that he says by this statement of letting us. First of all, in the first six chapters, it would be concerning a superior leader, concerning a superior leader in Jesus Christ. So the first let us are found in chapter 4. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible reveals, it says, let us, the believers who are looking to Jesus Christ and this new covenant, new and living way, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So let us therefore fear. That's a reverential fear of God. Now, the therefore would go back to chapter 3. Now, what is the therefore there? Let us therefore, understanding what he is relating to in the Old Testament. It says in verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now he's going back to a situation in the Old Testament where they did not follow after Moses' teaching. And we find that what they did is they did not hold on to the teachings of Moses, did not look to the God of Israel, and they somewhat rebelled against the God of Israel. And God judged them accordingly. So he says now to us, he said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And so honor and always acknowledge God and how we live. We should always have a respect, that is that fear, a reverential fear of who Jesus Christ is. He's a superior leader because they can't get any superior than what he is. He was the creator of all things. He was God the Son. He is God the Son. And he is a superior leader. There cannot be anyone that would give you a better example in leadership than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God manifested in the flesh. He came as God to reveal to us an example of New Testament Christianity and how we are to look to him and follow after him. Wow. That's a better leader. That's a better example than any leader in the Old Testament, whether it be Abraham, whether it be Moses, whether it be Joshua, any of those that were leading the nation of Israel, there is even David, there was not a better leader, a more superior leader to look to than what we have to look to in the person of Jesus Christ. So now that we're saved, we have an example. We have the fulfillment of the scriptures. We know how God would have us to live. We ought to fear not living that way. Because the leader that we look to sees us 24/7. He knows what's going on inside of us. He knows the very intents of the heart. Now, most of us, around my age anyway, were raised by parents that were disciplinarians. And I think that we are losing our young people today because they are not raised as being disciplined. And one of the things that I knew about my father is I knew if he found out that I was not doing what he established that I should do and how I should live my life, that if he found out about it, I was going to get it. I was going to get disciplined. If I got in trouble at school, I not only got in trouble by the teacher and got 3 whacks, back in the day. You see, when you messed up in school, they were able to put you as you bend over and take a paddle, the principal of the school, and give you whacks. They would be in prison today if they were doing that today. Yeah. No, that's something that when you got in trouble at school, you got whacks at school. And then when you got home and your dad found out about you getting in trouble at school, you even got more whacks. I don't think that our generation turned out all that bad. Yeah. We ought to have a fear of not living as God would have us to live, a reverential fear. If you know that God knows your very thought, God knows everything that you do, you cannot get by with anything. If my dad had that knowledge, I'll tell you what, I would be an angel today. But I thought, he might not find out about this one. And he might not find out about that one. But when you got 6 other brothers, they find out about everything. Especially when you got 6 sisters. Yeah. And so a reverential fear of the judgment of my father kept me from doing a lot of things that I wanted to do, that my physical flesh wanted to do. But the fear of the judgment of my dad kept me from that. That's exactly what the Bible's telling you there. You have a superior leader. He sees and knows all things. He is God. Don't question if you're going to get by with it. You're not. You might think you get by with it, but no one gets by with anything in God's sight. He sees and knows all things, as we'll go on to see in just a few more minutes. So let us therefore live this New Testament Christian life with a reverential fear of the judgment of a Savior, a superior leader. In chapter 4 and verse 11, we find that same phrase here. And I love this because Paul is encouraging them to do this. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us labor. Our labor. Look back, if you will, to verse 9 and 10. Therefore is also presented there in verse 11. So we look back, and what is therefore? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So let us labor for God. Stop living life for self and realize that this world is the bigger picture, amen, is much more important than just your desires. We ought to live our life with others in view. Yeah. And laboring to represent Jesus Christ, our Savior. True faith leads to labor, or a work for God. And as we look to labor and work for God, you'll find that Jesus Christ offers you comfort and rest and support. Matthew chapter 11, that's what he taught. Matthew chapter 11. Follow with me here. I'm not going to be long tonight, so follow with me. Get it all tonight. You brave the cold to get out and come to church, and so don't let your mind wander. Stay focused. Receive what God has for us tonight here. Powerful book in the book of Hebrews. And find here Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Work for me. Labor for me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. And it'll be something that is going to affect your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen. He'll carry that yoke. Yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll strengthen you. He'll help us to accomplish what he would have us to do in laboring for him. Let us labor. Look back with me now. Hebrews chapter, stay in the chapter 4 here. There's three different let us is there in 4. Again, this is presenting this idea of a superior leader. And so we look here in chapter 4 and verse 16. In verse 16 he says, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So let us therefore, what therefore again, understanding who Jesus is. For we have not an high priest, verse 15, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So if we have him to turn to, wouldn't it be foolish not to take advantage of that? And so that we have Jesus Christ, God, who lived in the flesh, who identified with humanity, we have him and we can look to him and we can come boldly into the throne of grace. That means that we can come into the holies of holy and we can communicate with an almighty creator God who understands us better than we know ourselves. Why would we not want to go to him in prayer? Present every area and every issue of life to him to get his counsel, to get his direction. Let us therefore, knowing who he is and what he's done for us, come boldly. That coming boldly is not coming with arrogance. It's coming with confidence, respect, and humility. Knowing that God had designed it for me to come and communicate with him. That's good stuff right there. God designed it. If it's God designed and he wants me to bring it to him, then I need to go to him boldly, knowing I'm doing it what God wants me to do. And as I look to him, he is able to give me exactly what I have need of. Come boldly. Let us do that. This is New Testament Christianity. They didn't have that in the Old Testament because they didn't have the leadership that we have. They did not have the great high priest as we have today. We have Jesus Christ. Come boldly. Come boldly to him. Chapter 6, last one in this first section, a superior leader. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Chapter 6 and verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us. Paul says, come on, let's do it. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God. Let us go on. What is that? Grow beyond the ABCs of Christianity. It baffles me how some people can be saved for 20 and 30 years and never have grown beyond the ABCs of Christianity. If you will, they're 30 years and still in kindergarten. Yeah. Kindergarten's the ABCs. Kindergarten, you go in there, I don't know about you, but I learned to tie my shoes in kindergarten. Today, they're learning how to get on computers. I don't know what they're learning today. But I do know that the foundation was set. Kindergarten, you only went half a day. It was getting you ready for the rest of the school years. Kindergarten was very important because it was a transition from leaving home and moving on to school 8 hours a day. All right, that's why they had kindergarten. It was there. But if you stay in kindergarten for 30 years, that's not what it's designed for. Let's move on. God has given us the ABCs of Christianity, but we shouldn't have to be taught the very same ABCs of Christianity. Shouldn't have to be taught how to tie your shoes over and over and over again. You shouldn't have to learn how to go through the alphabet over and over again. You shouldn't have to learn numbers over and over again. You ought to learn it and then move on to the next part, to perfection or maturity. And so he says to us there in the book of Hebrews, now we have this superior leader and there's so much that we can learn. There's so much that he has to offer us. Let us not get caught up in the ABCs. Know that you're saved. Know that you're baptized. Know that you're in a good church and then mature. Go on, move on to learn all that God would have you to learn, because it'll come into play in your Christian life. You have to get the ABCs first. But then there's moving on from that and to maturity. Yeah. You have a superior leader that helps us to do that. The second part of the three-point outline, the second part has to do with chapter 7 through chapter 10. A superior priesthood. A superior priesthood than what they had in the Old Testament. Now, if you understand the priesthood in the Old Testament, it's there, and we learn about that so that we can have a better understanding of the priesthood of Jesus Christ and then the priesthood of all believers. So chapter 10, look over there with me. Chapter 10, verse 22. Everybody following tonight? Amen. Second part, a superior priesthood. Chapter 10, verse 22. Let us, come on, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near. We can fellowship with God. And we don't have to go through man. Fellowship demands holiness of mind and body. Because holy fellowship is access to the holies of holies. Old Testament, the priest. Only one. They would have to make sure that they had no sin. They'd have to make sure that they had right thinking, had right holiness. Nothing was in their lives that would be a hindrance. And they could come into this holy of holies. Can I tell you, God says, let us. Because Jesus Christ is a great high priest, but he has given to all of us the priesthood of believers. He has given all of us access into the holies of holies. The thing that we have to do is to make sure when we are fellowshipping with God, if you truly desire to go into the holies of holies, if you truly desire the fellowship of God, you've got to be ye holy, for I am holy. You got to put away the filth of the earth, and you got to put away the filth of the flesh, and you got to turn to God and say, Lord, my mind, help me to have a pure mind. Help me to have a pure heart, because I want fellowship with you. If you desire fellowship with Jesus Christ as the God the Son, you can have fellowship with Him. But you can't have it if you love the world more than you love God. I've got to love God more than I love the world. I've got to love God more than I want to give in to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. I love God. if I love God, then I can have sweet fellowship with God. I can't come into His presence if there's darkness, because in Him there is no darkness, only light. Yeah. So draw near. Let us, by chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed. Pureness, holiness of mind, and holiness of body. To have true fellowship with God. Yeah, it's worth the sacrifice. Matter of fact, once you experience it, you don't even think of it as being a sacrifice. Yeah. Draw near. The second one here, in this very same, a superior priesthood. In verse 23, the very same chapter, chapter 10, verse 23, Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise. Hold fast. Don't turn back. You're going to find temptations. You're going to find that this world is going to have things, it's going to, that carrot that it's going to put out in front of you. And the Satan's going to work through the temptations of the flesh and temptations of your mind, all the different things, whether it be money, whether it be the things of the world. And he said, don't give in to temptation to turn back, but hold fast. Don't return to your sin. Galatians, let me read to you. Galatians in chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He sets you free from sin. Don't return to it. You still have a free will. Even though you are saved and now you have Christ living within you, you can still make decisions to turn back to the flesh. But the Bible says, and Jesus is saying, don't do that. Hold fast your belief. Hold fast your profession that I am a Christian, that I want to live for Christ. Don't turn back. Let's move on. Let's hold on to the profession that we've made. Don't return to your sin. Because we have a superior priesthood. New Testament, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, superior than anything the Old Testament saints had. Verse 24, same chapter. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Jesus, the great high priest, came for us. He came because he was considering you and I. When he hung on the cross of Calvary, he had us in mind. He sacrificed and he laid his life down concerning and considering us who needed him to pay a sin debt that we owe and could not pay. Oh, how we need to be considerate of others. Be aware of how your life affects others and be an encourager. You know, one of the reasons that we're here tonight ought to be to encourage other believers. Empty pews don't encourage anybody. A full house encourages everybody. I hate winter. Because there's going to be times you can't get out, or people can't get out. And the one time, the main time, Sunday morning and Sunday night, the Sunday's the Lord's day. It's a day that we are not to forsake the assembly. Matter of fact, that's in that very same chapter, that's what he says. He says, not for forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, because as we consider one another, we come to church not just for ourselves, although we will benefit from it, but is to be an encourager of others. To be an encourager. I guarantee you, if you do not make it to church, somebody has been discouraged because your spot is empty. They might be concerned, a little worried, wondering what happened to you, this and that and the other. It's always good when those know that we are looking for the different people to be in the different spots. They'll call and let us know we're on vacation this week, or we're doing this or we're doing that. And I don't want you to think that we are backslidden or rebelling or, or mad or upset. You never know why people are not in church. But all those things happen. And so that's not an encouragement. But when I look out there and I see, as a pastor, and I see the faces where they normally are. Now, some of you mess me up and you want to go around and go everywhere. And that's all right. Find your spot, though, and get into it. Amen. Help me to look up there and know who's going to be up in that corner and who's going to be in that corner and who's going to be. The idea there is your presence is an encouragement to every other believer. Because we realize that you thought it important to come. You thought it was the will of God for you to come. Yeah. And so let us consider one another. Right after that, not forsaking the assembly. Praise the Lord for those who understand that attendance, church attendance, is more than about me. It's about my family, my immediate family, and my church family. It's about obeying the commandments of God, and it's about growing in my Christian life, maturing. You cannot and you will not mature if you're not faithful to church. If you're faithful to church, can I tell you, you get four preaching lessons, four counseling services, four opportunities to learn more about the Bible and God's Word every week. Most of the guys I've been witnessing to at the golf course, actually, and trying to get them, they've been watching. I get them to watch the television program, then they start coming to church. We've had several come, but they say, "How many times you preach?" I said, "Four times." You're kidding, four times? They're used to once, one service a week. Now you do the math. One, if you can get closer to God in one, how much closer can you get if you're at all four? How much more can you learn? How much more can you grow? Move on from the ABCs as you continue to avail yourself to the teachings of Christ. Yeah, praise the Lord. So we have a superior priesthood. But lastly here tonight, the last is chapters 11 through 13, and that's a superior faith. What we put our faith in, our belief. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us. We have those that have gone on from Lighthouse Baptist Church, and we have family members that have gone on and from this life. And if they're saved, they go to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. I believe they're in this heavenly grandstand, and they're witnessing. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What does a witness do? They witness something. They see something. It's talking about the old saints, but I believe the Bible says to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so all of them that are saved, when they leave this world, they go to be with the Lord, and they're in this great cloud of witnesses. I believe my mom, my dad, they didn't see me serving Christ. My mom did. She was a member of the church early on. My father never saw me serve God, but he sees me. He's been seeing me serving God for the last 40 years in that cloud of witnesses. My brothers and sisters, those that have gone on to glory, they're witnessing. Yeah, and not only mine, yours is too. That's something to understand. So when we understand our faith, what God has given to us to believe. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, knowing this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Those that have already run the race are now cheering on our race. So let us draw near. We can fellowship with God. The fellowship demands this holiness. Lay aside every weight. Remove anything that will slow you down, hinder your running of the race. Don't run. Don't run a race with a winter coat on. Let us run with patience a race that is set before us, and lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us. We all have them. Got to put them away so that we'll run that race as God would have us to. Lay aside every weight. The second thing there in this last section of superior faith is verse chapter 13. Look over there with me. Chapter 13 and verse 13. I only got one more to go after this. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Turn from self and live for Christ, even if it means persecution. Be a light for Christ in the world. It's easy to be a Christian in church. There's no persecution for being a Christian. Shouldn't be in church. But a superior faith says to go forth. You have a purpose, and your purpose is you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Let your light shine. If you're going to be persecuted or not, let your light shine. Therefore, go forth. Let us go forth. Then lastly, chapter 13 and verse 15, he says this, by him, therefore, through Jesus Christ, the superior priesthood, it's given to us, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Offer praise. Continual praise and thanksgiving. When's the last time you just had a spell and just started thanking God for everything that you could think of? Praising him for everything he's done, how you benefited from it. Praise and thanksgiving. I'm actually convinced that most fail to praise God like we should. And we fail to praise God like we should. We miss out on the joy that praise and thanksgiving brings. I've never seen any depressed person giving thanks and praising God. It's an impossibility. You're either one of the two. You're either depressed, or you're giving thanks and praising God. Giving thanks and praising God will get you out of depression. A failure to give thanks and praise God will send you into a depression. And you get to decide which one you want. Some people love to be depressed. I don't understand that. When you can come out of it, if you'd start focusing on what you have instead of what you don't have, start focusing on the goodness of God and giving him thanks and praising his name. We've gone through 10 things in the book of Hebrews. We must do these things if we're going to mature in our Christian faith, which is superior than Old Testament. It's a new and living way. Like it have ever head bowed, every eye closed. Book of Hebrews, encouraging book of the Bible, helps us to bring everything in the Old Testament into the light of Jesus fulfilling it. Yeah. It's a powerful book. We've just kind of highlighted these three main points, outline of this book of Bible. As God spoke to you tonight, maybe pricked your heart. If he has, then when we are spoken to by the Spirit of God and he reveals things to us, we need to make those decisions. Do whatever it is that God would have us to do. God spoke to you tonight. We'd encourage you to make that decision. Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you for this book of Hebrews. Pray as we've just presented these thoughts tonight that you would use this to speak to our people. Help each one to know maybe what decisions they need to make just to draw closer to you. Pray that you'd bless in this invitation this evening. In Jesus' name we pray.